John chapter number 21. We'll take a look at the Word of God here. I think I'm going to go ahead and back up and start reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through most of the chapter. John 21. You there with me tonight? Let it be known with an amen. The Bible says in verse number 1, John chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. Another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that ye tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your people coming to your house, Lord, and their faithfulness. God, we pray tonight that you'd help us. I pray you'd cleanse me of my sin. God, empty me of self. I pray I'd say nothing that does not need to be said, but, oh, Lord, help me to say everything that does. We pray above all things the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up in this place. When it's all said and done, help us to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due only your holy name, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've just somewhat closed out another year, we're just a couple weeks into a new year, and we're beginning a new one. I can't help but think how faithful God has been to all of us this past year. Amen. To me and my family personally, I want to tell you, God has truly blessed us, and he's blessed us with so many wonderful things. We could take the entire night and even plenty of tomorrow talking about the great things the Lord has done just this past year in the life of me and my family, and he's given us a great year as a family in which I am truly grateful. But it's not just my family. I've watched God be extremely faithful to you and your families. There's been many of you that God has brought you or someone you know or someone you love or some family through some health crisis, and we've seen that several times throughout this past year, and God has been good in that way. Some of you, God has brought you safely through some surgery or something like that. And some of you, I've watched him hold your hand every step of the way as you battled some other maybe type sickness or some other situation in your life, some other circumstance, whether it be a financial thing or a physical thing or an emotional thing. And oh, how I'm thankful and grateful for all God has done for my family and for your family. Truly, we could say, as the psalmist says, the Lord hath done great things for us whereof we are glad. But I want you to understand something. God's goodness will not keep me serving God. You see, God's goodness alone is not enough. God's gift alone won't keep me serving God. You see, the fact of the matter is tonight, there are people that begin the past year serving God. There are people that were maybe even here last year and used to serve God. There's a crowd that used to be in the house of God, and they're no longer in the house of God tonight. There are many people who began last year laboring for God and living for God, but they're not living for the Lord now. God's goodness, nor His gifts, nor your guilt will keep you serving God. But the fact of the matter is, many of us are still here serving God. Many of us are still here tonight laboring for God. There are many of us that still have the desire to live for God. And so my question tonight, what is it that keeps us serving the Lord? There's a crowd of people in every single church that's been extremely faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There's a crowd. They're at the revival meeting. They're at the missions conferences. They're at whatever it is you call church. Man, they're going to be there. And I'm simply saying there's a crowd at every church. There's that remnant. There's that crowd that's been extremely faithful. And my question tonight, what's different about that crowd and the crowd that's walked away? What is it that keeps us serving God? Because while maybe this one's walked away and that one's walked away, I just can't walk away. While this one's quit and that one's quit serving God, I just can't quit serving God. And the reason tonight, I want you to understand that I can't quit serving God, and the reason tonight I believe you're here and you can't quit serving God, is not because of His goodness, though we thank God for His goodness. It's not because of His gifts, though we praise the Lord for His gifts. It's not because of any of those things, but there's really only one reason tonight why I can't quit serving God. And that one reason simply is love. It's simply love. In our passage tonight, as we look at a message, just thinking about why I can't quit serving God. Why I can't quit serving God. In our passage tonight, Jesus asked Peter a question. In fact, he asked him this same question three different times. The question he asked was, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You see, Simon was at the point in his life he was ready to quit on the Lord. Simon was at the point in his life he was going back to his old life. Simon was at the point that he was ready to lay it all down and go back to who he used to be. And although Jesus had been good to Peter, and although the Lord Jesus had blessed Peter, and although he had just given him here, when you look in the text, a load of fishes, and even though Jesus had just said to him, come and dine, he fed Peter and his friends by the seashore. Jesus understood this very simple but important truth that I want you to understand tonight. His goodness to Peter would not get Peter to keep serving him. Oh, listen, his gifts for Peter would not get Peter to keep serving him. But Jesus knew that there was one thing and one thing only that would keep Peter in service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that one thing was love. Hence he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You see, the Bible says that love never fails. And by way of introduction, I want to give you two reasons why I can't quit serving God. Number one, I can't quit serving God because of my love for him. Can I say to you tonight, the only thing that will keep us walking with Jesus is love. Can I tell you, you don't walk away from somebody you love. When Peter was ready to quit on Jesus, watch this now. Jesus did not say, look at what all I've done for you. The amazing thing, when you begin to read and study this text, and Peter's fixing to walk away from God, Jesus didn't say to Peter, look at everything I've given you. Look at all the blessings I've bestowed upon you. But when Peter's fixing to walk away from God, Jesus asked him one simple question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You'll not stay with God out of guilt. I learned a long time ago, you can't guilt people into doing the right thing. I learned a long time ago, you can't guilt people into coming to church and serving God if they're not doing it out of a passion and a love in their heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to make it. You can't listen. You'll not stay with God out of guilt. You'll not stay with God for the gifts. You'll not stay with God out of His goodness. But the only thing that will keep you serving Him is love. I heard a story, I maybe shared it with you before, about J. Harold Smith. Great preacher, I know of an evangelist that went by. It was his kind of one of his dreams. He always wanted to meet and talk with J. Harold Smith, and he was passing by his church one day and decided he would stop in there. Secretary was sitting at the front, and he says, yes, is Brother Smith in? She says, yes, sir, he's back there in his office. He went in his office, and of course, Brother J. Harold Smith sitting there, and they just began to kind of have some conversation. And he said, I looked over the desk at him and I asked him, he said, how is it, sir, that God is so abundantly on your life? How is it that it just seems that the Lord has gotten a hold of you and you've gotten a hold of God, and how is it that you have the touch of God on your life? J. Harold Smith thought about it for a while, said he didn't say anything for a couple of minutes. And then he said, he looked up and he said, young man, you want to know why I believe that God blesses me and I have a touch of God on my life, if that's what you want to call it. He said, every single morning, he says, I come to my office, and the first thing I do, I sit down and I write a love letter to God. He said, son, he said, I sit there and I write that letter just as if you'd write a letter to your sweetheart, for you see, he is my sweetheart. He said, I write that letter to God. And he said, you see over there, that table had a little light with a lamp on that table. He said, that lamp. He said, I take that letter over there and I lay it under that light. He says, I know God don't need that light to read that letter, but it reminds me of who He is, the light of my life. He says, I sit there sometimes for hours and I just bask in His glory, and I'm reminded of all the reasons that I love the Lord. Friend, tonight, listen, when you do not love Jesus, there's nothing that can keep you serving Him. But when you do love the Lord Jesus, there's nothing that can keep you from serving Him. It's all about love, because love never fails. Number one, I can't quit serving God because of my love for Him. By way of introduction, number two, I can't quit serving God because of His love for me. Oh, I wish I had the time to really run this out. The Bible mentions here about the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's amazing, you study out the book of John. That term's only used in the book of John, and it's used by the writer of the book of John, which of course is John, and he labels himself the disciple whom Jesus loves. Now, I want you to understand that when John makes that statement, he's not saying that Jesus loves John more than the rest of the disciples. It's not that Jesus loved John more than the rest of the disciples, but it's that John embraced the love of Jesus more than the rest of the disciples. Oh, listen, John, the Bible said he's there sitting on his lap and got his head on his bosom there in his chest there in the upper room when all the other disciples are plotting, all the other disciples are seeking a position. There's old John, and he's feeling the breath of God on his head. Old John's sitting there. It's amazing when you begin to study it out that the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved John, he's there at the cross. Standing there is John. The other disciples had forsook him and fled, but there's old John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Oh, it wasn't that the Lord loved John more than the other disciples, but John understood a little bit more about the love of Jesus than the other disciples. It's important to understand tonight that the only reason we love Him is because He first loved us. The only way we can love Him greatly is realizing how much He loved us. And when we realize how much He loves us, that keeps us loving Him and serving Him and going on for Him. Paul put it this way. He said, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again." Paul said the love of Christ is what constrains us. That word constrain is an interesting word. It means to compel, or to force, or to urge with irresistible power. Out of all of the reasons tonight, beloved, that I should serve God, there's only one thing that forces me to serve God. Can I tell you what it is? It's not the gift. It's not the goodness. It's not any of those things. It's the love that my Savior had for me. And if you ever wonder what that is, just look at Calvary. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. Just before he said that, by the way, the Apostle Paul speaks about the persecution. He says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. All the beatings, all the scourgings, all the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, the famines, and oftentimes he was without. Yet Paul said, none of these things move me. What's the secret, Paul? The love of Christ is what constraineth us. When your fervor won't keep you going, friend, when His favor won't keep you going, when your fire won't keep you going, God's love is what'll keep you going. His love for you will keep you serving Him and going on for Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And since our love for God is so imperative to our service for God, and since it's what keeps us going on for God, I think we'd be wise tonight to examine our love for Him. Because I want to tell you tonight, it's likely the only reason you hadn't quit. It's likely the only reason you hadn't thrown in the towel. It's, listen to me, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Every single one of us have went out to pasture at some time in our life. Every single one of us have had our faith shook to the point we question every single thing that we ever believed about the Lord. And I'm saying sometimes you get out there and it seems like the heavens are just brass and just shut up when you pray. And the only thing that keeps you putting one foot in front of the other is because while you may doubt many things, you never doubt God's love that He has for you. That's what keeps us going. You see, when Jesus asked Peter the question for the first time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He wasn't satisfied. The Lord Jesus wasn't satisfied with his routine answer because he asked him two more times. We're quick to say how much we love God. We sing songs like, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Oh, how I love Jesus." We sing all those songs. We're quick to tell God how much we love Him in our prayers. But what does it really mean to love God? What does that look like? We can say that we love God, but do we really know what we're saying? Do we realize what all that means and entails? Because evidently here in John 21, when Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, when Peter answered the routine answer, "You know that I love thee." You ever asked your wife, I'm sure you have, or wife's your husband, "You love me? You know I love you. Why don't you ever tell me?" "Well, I told you 20 years ago, anything changes, I'll let you know." Right? Huh? "You know I love you." Jesus, knowing Peter's heart, wasn't satisfied with his answer. It seemed something was missing in his love. So how should we love God so that we'll never quit on God? What's God, and by the way, I know we'll look, maybe mention it here in a moment, but I don't start getting all hermeneutical and hermeneutical and all that kind of stuff. I understand about the phileo love and the eros love. I get all that, okay? We're not necessarily dealing with that tonight. What's God looking for in our love for Him? I want to give you four things that we find the Lord's interested in concerning our love for Him. And we find those things in this question that the Lord asked Peter. Number one, I want you to notice the rank of our love. In other words, where is God as far as a priority in our life? Notice what he says again, lovest thou me, watch this, more than these. Did you know God is concerned about where he ranks in your life? He said, lovest thou me more than these? Okay, Peter, you might love me, but how much? Where do I rank in your life? Am I second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place, 100th place, or am I first place? I'm not disputing that you love me, but listen, you might love me some, but do you love me supremely? That's what he's saying. Lovest thou me more than these? That's important to understand what Peter was really asking. I'm sorry, what Jesus was really asking Peter. When Jesus asked this question, lovest thou me more than these, he had to be referring to something. What was the these? And there you can listen to a lot of different folks that have different things that they think what that means, what the these are. But I believe it's clear when you just take the context for what it is that he's referring to the fish. I don't believe he was talking about the disciples or anything else. I believe he was talking about those fish. That was the subject matter. His question went much deeper than that. You see, Peter had been a fisherman by trade before he ever began to walk with the Lord and follow Jesus. And what Jesus was really asking him is, do you love your old life more than you love your new life? Do you love your old life more than you love me? You see, I said to somebody this morning I was talking with, I said, yeah, we just got to get to the place where we want what we want for our life. We want what he wants for our life more than we want what we want for our life. He said, do you love me more than these, all these fish, more than the old life? Do you love this world and the things of this world more than me? Whether you realize it or not tonight, whether you care or not tonight, Jesus is concerned about where he ranks in your life. Matthew 10:37 says this, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Can I say to you tonight, the Lord wants to be more than present in your life. The Lord wants to be even more than prominent in your life. Oh, but he desires to have the preeminence in my life and in your life. He'll not settle for anything else. He made that clear from the beginning of mankind. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 5, you know it very well, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Too often times the these, lovest thou me more than these in our lives are placed before him. Too often times many other things in our life are placed before the Lord. We read about idol worshiping and idolatry in the Word of God, and we think, well, those were some horrible people back in those things. Can I tell you, we've made some idols out of a whole lot of things in our life. Boy, there's a lot of things that come before church. There's a lot of things that come before serving God. There's a lot of things that come before that offering plate. There's a lot of things that come before many things when it has to do with the Lord that ought not be so. Too many times our love for these in our life crowd out our love for him. And whether it be fishes, whether it be our career, whether it be our companionships with others, whatever it is, listen, I want to say, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Acknowledge, you and I need to acknowledge where Jesus really ranks in our life. Not only the rank of our love, notice the second thing Jesus was interested in this question. The reason for our love. Look with me at verse number 15 again. He says to him, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Watch what he says. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He goes on, he says, feed my sheep. You see, not only is the rank of our love and what priority the Lord has in our life, not only is that important to him, but not only is that found in his question, but we also find the reason for our love. Watch this. Jesus did not ask Peter if he loved sheep. Jesus here didn't ask Peter, do you love to feed sheep? Now watch this. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Because, friend, if you love me, feed my sheep. Who knows love's an action word? What's the reason for the question? What's the reason? What's the purpose behind our love? He asked him, do you love me? You see, this is the reason Jesus wants you and I to love him. Because if we love him, we'll love what he loves. Listen, love is not some abstract thought. It always has a tangible object. It's not just something out there in Never Never Land. In other words, love is not so much a feeling as it is an action. We get caught up on the fuzzy wuzzies of things. But love's a commitment. I've said to folks before, they're splitting up. The husband said, well, it just fell out of love. I said, so sir, basically what you're telling me is you're disobedient to God. Because, sir, God's told you to love your wife as Christ. Listen, you know what it is? It's a decision. It's a choice that we make to love. It's not so much a feeling as it is an action. When Jesus says, lovest thou me, and Peter says, yes, Jesus says, okay then, feed my sheep. In other words, demonstrate your love for me. The object of our love ought to be him, but the operation of our love ought to be serving others. People ought to be able to see the love of Christ in us by what we do with and for them. Love's not something just sits idle, but it's something that produces action. When Mary Martin was about to walk across the stage for the musical called South Pacific, there was a note handed to her that had been written by a man by the name of Oscar Hammerstein. At the time, he was on his deathbed. Here's what the note said. Said, dear Mary, a bell's not a bell until you ring it. A song's not a song until you sing it. The love in your heart is not meant there to stay, for love isn't love until you give it away. Our love for Jesus is intended to be demonstrated to others. Jesus said very clearly, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus wasn't interested here in what Peter said. Lord, you know that I love thee. But he was interested in what Peter was doing. Oh, Jesus looked at a crowd of people one day and he said, they do honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Love's something that ought to be demonstrated in our life. He was interested in what Peter was doing because Peter had quit. Peter was no longer in the work of God. Peter, you're sitting here on the riverbank. You're back to your old way of life. Oh, and you're going to tell. I talk to people. How often do we talk to people without knocking doors or maybe just somebody at the table when you're sitting there at the restaurant and you get to talk to people, ask them where they go to church. Oh, yeah, hadn't been to church in a long time. You talk, I love the Lord. The Lord's everything to me. I don't ever go to church. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If it's important to him, ought it not be important to me? Peter had quit. He was no longer in the work of God. He's no longer feeding sheep. His love had become in word only. And so three times here, Jesus asking that question, lovest thou me? Because Peter was not understanding that love's more than words. Love's more than what we say. What are you doing to demonstrate tonight your love for God? I've said before, when thank the Lord, I don't guess anybody's quitting anything, but when people start quitting anything, it's a bad deal. Because they're going the wrong direction, they're revolting, and they're going backwards. What are you doing tonight to demonstrate your love for God? I think sometimes we like to live off of the used to's, and I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I think God's sitting up there, and he's saying, what have you done for me lately to demonstrate your love? People start quitting. That's not a good thing because it's evidence of a deeper spiritual problem. It's evidence, listen, when folks start quitting things, when you lose your heart of a servant, what you've really lost is you've really lost your love for God. Jesus said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. In other words, I want to see your love in action. We see Jesus is interested in the rank of our love. Lovest thou me more than these? He's interested in the reason for our love. He says, feed my sheep. Notice the third thing. The ransom of our love. Look with me here, verse number 18 and 19. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," speaking to Peter, "when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Bible says here, "This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God." He's telling Peter here, Jesus is predicting Peter's future and how Peter's going to die. He's going to die a death that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as Peter said the third time that he loved the Lord, Jesus began to explain to him that there's coming a day that if Peter truly loves him, his love was going to be tested, and he'll suffer because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter would be persecuted because of his love for Jesus. In fact, he would give his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, the ransom of our love. Can I say to you tonight, there is a price tag to loving Jesus. It's recorded that Peter was crucified upside down because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior was crucified. It may be or it may not be required of me or you to die for the Lord Jesus. However, every single one of us are required to live for the Lord Jesus. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You might not be asked to die for Him, but all of us have been commissioned to live for Him. Every one of us. It may not be. He asked us to give our life, but we ought to live for Him. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." I've said to you before, and I've thought this thing out a little bit, dying for Christ just might be easier than living for Him. Because you see, Paul said, "I die daily." Listen, if you're going to live for God, every single day of your life, you're going to have to die to self. Paul said, "I die daily." We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know to be with Christ is far better. To live as Christ, to die as gain. In many ways, friend, it would be easier to die for Christ than it would to live for Christ, but He's asked us to live for Him. Jesus said, "Love has a price tag, Peter." After the USS Pueblo was captured in 1968 by the North Koreans, had 82 surviving crew members. They were thrown into brutal captivity. In one particular instance, 13 of the men, they were required to sit in a very uncomfortable manner just around the table for hours at a time. After several hours, the door flung open violently, and a North Korean guard came in and brutally beat the man that sat there in the first chair with the butt of his rifle. The next day, as each man sat at their assigned place, again the door was thrown open, and the man in the first chair was brutally beaten. On the third day, the same thing happened again, same man. Knowing the man couldn't survive another beating, a young sailor beckoned him and took his place. Sure enough, the door flung open, and they began to beat the man that was sitting in the first chair. Over and over, day after day, somebody new would sit in that first chair. Every single day, somebody new would step forward, knowing what would happen. Finally, the guards gave up in exasperation. They were unable to beat that kind of sacrificial love. You see, friend, love never fails. And love always pays a price. Love always pays a price. I want you to notice another thing. Not only the ransom of our love, but notice the reality of our love. The practicality. Look with me at verse number 19. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him," and watch these words, "Follow me." The reality. the practical part. I'm talking about the down on the ground floor level where the rubber meets the road. Jesus says, okay, Peter, you love me. Prove it. Follow me. Follow me. You see, the reality is tonight is it's easy to say we love the Lord Jesus, but Jesus' question is, what are you doing tonight to prove it? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus gives us these four things to consider when it comes to our love for Him. No doubt everyone in this building and many in many other church buildings tonight, no doubt there are many tonight that would say, yes, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people that sat in this building and the people that sat in other church buildings, and praise God, we're actually up, we've grown. I'm not saying that, nothing negative. I'm simply saying there are some people that was in this building. There are some people that's been in other church buildings in the last year, a year ago, but they're no longer serving God. It's not because God's not good. It's not because the Lord hadn't blessed them. It's because their love for the Lord has diminished. I'm not saying they don't love the Lord Jesus. And Jesus never said that Peter didn't love Him. But He asked Peter to acknowledge where he ranked in his love. Has there been some things that's gotten put in above me? You go through life, every one of us are seasons of life, and listen, if you've been saved very long at all, you'll be honest tonight, there's been times where you've had a greater love for the Lord, a greater devotion for the Lord, a more closeness, nearer to the cross relationship with the Lord than you have at other times. And what happens is, while you may still come to church every single time the doors open, you may still serve in that class, you may still work in that bus ministry, you may still sing in that choir, the fact of the matter is there's some things that's taken precedence in our life. And eventually, if those things don't get reconciled, they take over our life. And the Lord had to wake Peter up. Simon? He's looking at the fish. He's looking at the nets. He's looking at the... 3 years. Peter's been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. But he got sidetracked. He didn't even ask him. He didn't say, you don't love me, Peter. He said, lovest thou me more than these? Sometimes we think, well, as long as I love the Lord, everything's okay. No, He's very interested in where He ranks in your life. And then the reason for His love, it was to feed His sheep. Get involved in my work, other words. Sell out to my will. He also instructed Peter to understand there's a ransom placed on love. Love always pays a price. If you're not paying a price, you're not loving like Jesus expects you to love. And then He explained to Peter, there's a reality, an aspect to love. That is, if we love God like we should, then we'll walk with God like we should. He said, follow me. And I say to you tonight, I can't quit serving God because of love. Because of my love for Him. Because of His love for me, Jesus asked Peter, who was on the verge of quitting forever, Simon, and by the way, I love how the Lord works. He called him Simon. You remember He gave him the name Peter, which means rock. Peter was no longer that rock that the other disciples could stand on and stand with. Peter had become wishy-washy and faulty and had a faulty foundation under him. And so He says to him again, he was going back to his old life. And so to get his attention and let him know, you see, the Lord knew where Peter was way before Peter even knew where Peter was. But He wanted to let Peter know where Peter was. Simon? Oh, Lord, hadn't heard you call me that in a while. Simon Peter realized, I'm back to the old ways. I'm back to the old life. He's on the verge of quitting, and Jesus asked him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Because Jesus knew the compelling factor of service for him, and the only thing that would keep Peter serving Him is love. Because, friend, love never fails. You know, something else that jumped out at me as I began to read this and look at this passage Here sits Jesus, the God of glory. I mean, he's just died on the cross, a horrible death. He's rose from the dead after all he had done for Peter while he walked with him. And now here he sits after his resurrection and after all the beatings and the scourging, after all the hell he suffered, and still he's wooing Peter, and still he's calling Peter, and still he's drawing Peter to him. And I'm overwhelmed that while Peter may have quit on Jesus, aren't you glad when you look at this scripture I'm talking about? Peter had messed up. Peter had turned back and went back. Jesus had been going through literally hell on earth, and yet here he still is calling Peter, and he's wooing Peter. And while Peter may have quit on the Lord Jesus never one time quit on Peter. He's just suffered death. He's just suffered hell, and he's just suffered the grave. Any one of us, friend, would have said, I'm done. Any one of us would have thrown in the towel. Any one of us said they can have it and be on his own. Any one of us would have left him to his own demise. But here we find Jesus back in verse number 4. He's standing on the shore, and he begins to talk to them as he first sees them standing on the shore. And then notice verse number 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Fish laid their own and bread. The Lord Jesus Christ feeds them. By the way, that's a lesson for you and I. Sometimes maybe ought not just cram the gospel down their throat, but let's take care of the physical. I know what's the most important thing, but there's a principle right here, friend. But verse number 9, he has the fire and the coals there and the fish. And then he says to them in verse number 12, come and dine. In verse number 14, he tells us, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. Oh, and tonight, while Peter may have quit on the Lord Jesus, Jesus has never quit on Peter. And do you want to know why? Because true love never fails. The Lord loves like you and I can't even fathom. It's an unconditional love. Would you make an honest assessment of your love for the Lord Jesus tonight? Peter is asking you. Or I'm sorry, Jesus is asking you, just like he asked Peter. Lovest thou me? Oh yeah, I love the Lord. You got to finish it. More than these. Now I don't think that, maybe Brother Phil, but other than him, that there's anybody in here love fish more. No, Brother Phil does. It may not be fish, but we've all got our sacred cows, don't we? And a lot of times, we don't want to admit it. We don't want to admit something's become an idol in our life. It could be so many things. It could be the television set. It could be a video game. It could be a motorcycle, a golf club, a gun, whatever it is. Lovest thou me? You see, I've learned throughout the thing, everybody's just got their own different ones. You talk to some people, and buddy, you can talk about this, talk about this. You get on that, preacher, now you're meddling. But then this guy over here, he's good with all that stuff. But you get on this. Lord, I give up this and I give up that. By the way, God wants you to be happy. He just wants to be first. Lovest thou me more than these? Can I tell you tonight, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Satan is very good at getting me and getting you to believe that, boy, we're really sold out to the Lord. And I'm simply saying tonight, this soul-penetrating question, Jesus asked Peter that we'd ask it ourselves. Lovest thou me more than these? While we stand for prayer, maybe you just want to come. I think of the psalmist who, of course, we all admire. He says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. He didn't say, I'm going to search myself. He said, search me, O God, because our heart's deceitful. Maybe somebody wants to come tonight and ask the Lord to show them if there's anything in their life that's more important, than Him. As we enter this year, 2018, help us to keep Him first place in our life.